Good afternoon. Do you turn your Bibles, or you may just want to listen because you know this by rote. Psalm 23, if you'd like to turn there. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's bow and pray. Heavenly Father, our prayer today is that you would feed us with the living bread from heaven. Feed our souls. Grant that we may love your word. Grant that we may hear your word and perceive and understand and receive it with joy. That there would be much fruit as we consider your precious word. We pray this in Christ's name and for his glory. Amen. Psalm 23, and if you want a title for the sermon, it would simply be A Table Prepared, or The Table Prepared. And we're just going to look at the first part, being late in the afternoon, after lunch. We will just focus on the first part of verse 5 of Psalm 23 and verse 5, which simply says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. It's been some time since we've been in Psalm 23, so just a quick recap of what we have looked at before. We've observed in this psalm so far that when the Lord, the good, the great, our chief shepherd, is our shepherd, we shall not want for anything. That is what the psalm is all about. We shall not want for rest, for he makes me lie in green pastures. For refreshment, for he leads me beside quiet waters. For preservation, for he restores my soul. For guidance, for he guides me in paths of righteousness. For his name's sake, for peace, even in the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For companionship, for you are with me. Let's also remind ourselves of just two things about this psalm once again. First of all, the position of the psalm, being 23, which comes just after 22. And 22, and Psalm 23, which follows 22, is a psalm of the cross. And as Matthew Henry says, there are no green pastures, there are no still waters on the other side of Psalm 22. It is only after we have read, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" that we can come to the Lord who is our shepherd. We must by experience know the value of blood shedding and see the sword awakening against the shepherd before we are able to truly know the sweetness of the good shepherd's care. The position of the psalm. And the second is that we've mentioned before, if you have a really good memory, that is that this is a psalm for true believers. This is a psalm for the sheep of the good shepherd. The promises and the blessings are not for everyone in this psalm. Though beautiful the psalm may be, it provides no magical care or comfort for the unbeliever in trouble or even on his deathbed to be quickly read to an unbeliever. No, these benefits and comforts and assurances are given by the good shepherd for the sheep under his care, those in his fold. John 14:10, "I am the good shepherd," says Jesus. "I know my own, and my own know me, and these are for those whom the good shepherd has laid down his life for. Just those two quick reminders about what we've looked at in Psalm 23. Come then to verse 5, and that first part, you prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Now, a new scene is opened for us here. The psalmist up to now has spoken of himself as a sheep under the care of the good shepherd. Now it kind of changes the picture. He speaks of himself as a guest entertained by a generous host, proclaiming to us that God is love, most gracious and most bountiful. As John Stevenson points out, he says, in this way he teaches us that whatever is good and desirable in the different positions of society is but a picture of the unrivaled goodness that is in God. The sweets we taste, the kindnesses we receive, the happiness we enjoy, the scenes of peace or of plenty which we behold on earth should all lead us to look up on earth and say, every good and perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. And to prepare a table was meant to prepare and make ready for a feast. It was more than just to give a loaf of bread to a weary traveler. It was to actually detain one as a guest in true Eastern hospitality and set before him the best that you had to offer under the circumstances. The idea was to give excellent food and solid refreshment. That is the idea of a table being prepared in the East, a feast. I remember when I was just a little boy and my brother with me, we were from a family of eight, the great excitement that happened in our household when a stranger or a distant relative or a friend from a distant place would suddenly just arrive at the door. And this happened more than one time. And the great excitement in the household as the visitor came. He was not just invited in and given a cup of tea or coffee, even if this was at a late hour. I remember many times in our kitchen, my parents would receive the visitor and even sometimes a stranger who'd been recommended to us or whose name had been mentioned to us. The stranger or friend or relative would show up. He'd be received into a home with it's 10 o'clock at night. And the great excitement for me and my little brother as the family suddenly became a buzz and the kitchen became alive and a meal was cooked, and I can still smell the sausage and egg at 10 o'clock at night being cooked up for this unexpected visitor. And great excitement for me and my brother as often we were asked to vacate our bedroom to make way for this guest. And we would have the excitement of a camp out on the lounge floor in sleeping bags where we were expected to sleep as the conversation went wild and excitable about this visitor who had come to stay. Well, the psalmist David most likely had some images in his mind when he penned these words, depending on what period of time that he penned the psalm. And I'm not sure. Some would suggest 1000 B.C., but ask Sam or Pastor Arden afterwards. I'm sure they can tell us exactly where this fits in. But one of the pictures that was clearly, undoubtedly, would be in David's mind was of the shepherd going on a reconnaissance to the table, to the top of a mountain range during the spring, before leading the sheep up to those high tables or the flat top of the mountains for the summer, where they would graze and stay for a number of months. A good shepherd would survey the terrain. He would go up there before his sheep. He would block up foxholes with stones. He would go to caves in the rocks and block these up. He would even get on his hands and knees, as Philip Keller tells us, and he would pick the plants that he knew to be poisonous and the flowers that would harm the sheep if when they came they were to enjoy these dangerous plants even to their fate. And so the shepherd would go and prepare this table, if you like, on the top of the mountain. And Philip Keller, in his little book, points out that some of the finest sheep countries in the world, especially the western United States and southern Europe, the high plateau of the sheep ranges are referred to as mesas. Mesas, the Spanish word for table. So I'm told, again, ask Pastor Sam on that one. And oddly enough, the Kiswahili word in Africa, in East and Central Africa, the Kiswahili word for table is also mesa, and would in fact also refer to the flat tabletop, a flat table in a high place. And of course, an excellent example in South Africa would be Table Mountain, for those of you familiar with Table Mountain. No doubt, David had in mind preparing a table, a plateau atop for his sheep in his early years as a shepherd boy, as they would peacefully graze while the shepherd kept a watchful close eye as they were in the presence, no doubt, of some real enemies and predators lurking in the shadows, hiding behind the rocks, just waiting for a sheep to wander off so that they can pounce and snap him. But the sheep, having a table prepared, perhaps this image was in his head for when they came up to the high country in the summers. Now, the other picture that was most likely in David's mind was no doubt his early days in King Saul's courts, where he was welcomed and entertained at the king's prepared table, a banquet prepared for the young shepherd boy who overnight was hailed as a hero and a warrior and a national champion after slaying Goliath, there also enjoying himself the feast in the presence of many enemies there in Saul's courts, and men who would see him fall, men who were green with envy at this young boy being entertained in Saul's courts. Well, the parallel is clear, my friends. Both in the Old and New Testament, God is presented as a generous host, and the salvation that he has provided for sinful man is described as a sumptuous feast to which we are all freely invited. This may remind you of the parable, of course, in Matthew 22, of the wedding feast and those who were invited who didn't come, and the king would send out to invite the strangers and those on the streets to that banquet. Let's just pause here for a moment and ask the question: a table is prepared for the believer. How has the Lord prepared a table? Well, one thing is for sure. It is with great pains that the Lord has prepared a table for his people to feast at. And great effort and great price has gone into God preparing a table for his people. First of all, it was prepared in eternity before the foundation of the world. God prepared a table for his people. Secondly, the entrance to and the basis of the table prepared was the very lifeblood of the Lord Jesus Christ shed for his sinful people, because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but enjoy everlasting life. Thirdly, it was prepared by the perfect obedience and sinless life of the God-man Jesus Christ, who was tempted in every way just as we are, yet without sin. So he can sympathize with our weaknesses, and he knows our frame. Fourthly, it was prepared with the living bread, the Logos, the Word, the very Word of God, given for our instruction and our guidance, our sanctification, our growth in grace, for the giving of faith, since faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. All Scripture is God-breathed out and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. 2 Timothy 3:16. This is the preparation that went in to the table prepared for us. Thirdly, it was prepared, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, which we who have been drawn to Him by His grace has received. The Holy Spirit, who through the Word sanctifies us, bears witness to our spirits, and we heard in Sunday school this morning, by which we cry, Abba, Father. And it has been prepared both here in our earthly life to feed on daily and in eternity to come, when we will sit at the great feast of the Lamb. And it has been prepared for us at the Lord's Supper, when we come to His table and partake by faith in our hearts of the body and of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, to proclaim His death until He come, a reminder, a memorial of His death and resurrection, our eternal hope of glory. That is how the Lord has prepared a table for His people. My friends, at God's table that He has prepared, we have all that our bodies and our souls may need. And He Himself furnishes the table so that the supplies are always abundant, always suited to our needs, and always ready for our use. And even today we have come to a table prepared by the Lord for us to feast on. How many times have we been in His house here and marveled that Pastor Arden or one of our other pastors have preached just to me? Today's sermon was for me. And you look around and you wonder, did anyone else get anything here? Because this one was for me. And so the table prepared for us is designed to our needs and to what our souls truly desire. And in His house, this table here is in fact in the presence of our enemies. Our three enemies, the world and the flesh and the devil. All manner of blessings are set before us at that table. As John Newton writes, we have meat to eat, which the world knows not of. We come to His table He has prepared. We feed on the bread of life. We eat of the bread and drink of the wine at His table, and grace is imparted to us. Believers have communion with God and with His Son, Jesus Christ, a table He has prepared in the presence of our enemies. John Stevenson says, as invited guests, we bring nothing with us but a humble sense of our own unworthiness and a grateful sense of His marvelous loving kindness. Nothing remains that each guest, but that each guest sit down to partake. Thou preparest a table for me. And we as believers should never lose sight of the important fact that for every blessing we enjoy in time or will enjoy in eternity, we are solely indebted to His grace, the generosity, and the forethought of the Heavenly Father. All God's mercies are prepared mercies. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9 says, but as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love Him. John 14 and verse 4, in my Father's house, said Jesus, are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? My friends, at God's prepared table, the richest variety of spiritual provision is to be enjoyed. Every blessing suited to every state and every taste is here spread before us. Pardon and peace, wisdom and strength, life and health, holiness and truth, consolation and sympathy, righteousness and redemption, love and joy, patience, meekness, brotherly kindness and humility, faith, hope and love. So perfectly has God prepared His table that there is nothing missing. Nobody gets up from the table to go and fetch something. Everything is in abundant supply. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. Well, what should our response be to the Lord's kind provision? For this prepared this table prepared week after week, day after day, the provision of His Son as a substitute to take the penalty of my sin, His provision in providing for our daily needs, His provision in His Word and feeding our souls and strengthening us, sustaining us through life's trials and dangers and pitfalls. What should our response be to this table prepared both now in this earth, on this very day, and in the future, where we will spend eternity with Him? What should our response be to this table prepared in the presence of our mortal enemies, the world with its lusts and intoxications bidding us to stray, our own flesh with their own weaknesses and remaining sin that would so easily entangle, and the devil prowling around like a roaring lion, He's doing His utmost to deceive and to cast doubt, and desires to have us but cannot. How should we respond? What lessons are there for the child of God? The believer's response should be, first of all, gratitude and worship. Gratitude and worship. The mind of the apostle was so filled with gratitude at the thought of God's abundant spiritual provision that he exclaims in Ephesians 1 verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ." That feast, that table, our response should be one of worship and thankfulness. And the second response we should all have is to come. Is to come. Come to that table that has been prepared. God has provided. God has prepared the table even through the body of His Son. Will we be slow to come to His house? Will we be slow to open our Bibles and read His Word? Will we be slow to come and commune with Him in private prayer? To utter our prayers of worship and confession and thanksgiving and supplication? Is God's day still your chief delight? Or will you forsake the gathering of yourselves together? It's a hot day. I don't think I'll stay for the afternoon. This table has been prepared. All we need do is come. Will we shun the table that has been prepared? Were you invited as a guest to somebody's home and you say, "I'll come"? Oh, you'll come. You'll come. But we will shun the Lord and His table that has been prepared. Perhaps you come in body, but your heart is far from Him. Perhaps we become like the people of Malachi's day, who came to the sacrifices and everything prepared. And they sniffed, says Malachi. My, how tiresome it is. Must you be embarrassed and shamed by the King of Glory when, because of your sin and your wandering, you don't come? And Christ comes to you and He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice, let him open the door and I'll come in and eat with him and he with me." What if a visitor were to come to your home and you have invited him in? You've been invited to him and you don't arrive. He comes to your door. No. He says, "I'm here. I want to eat with you. I invited you." This is what our Savior does when we wander and stray from Him, when we don't come to His table, when, because of our sin, we avoid him and we avoid his house and his people and we shun the table. He comes and he calls and he knocks. As in Malachi's day, God's word comes to us today from the rising of the sun, even to its setting, my name will be great among the nations and in every place, since incense is going to be offered to my name and a grain offering that is pure, for my name will be great among the nations, said the Lord of hosts. Let us come to his table here every week, every day, feed and meditate on his word. Enjoy every spiritual blessing that he has prepared. Let us worship our shepherd king for his kind protection and provision through every trial and every joy in life, remembering that there awaits the great feast of the Lamb, where at last we will be free of sin and of weakness and pain and of suffering, and we will enjoy him forever. That should be our response, to become worshippers and thankful and to come to his table. Believers, is that your response? For the unbeliever, what should your response be to this table prepared? If you're an unbeliever today, a young person, an old person, a 40-year-old, an 80-year-old, what should your response be? The same. Come. Come. Come in repentance and faith. Come to a merciful God who will never turn you away. Isaiah 55 verse 1. Come, everyone who thirsts. Come to the waters and use no money. Come, buy and eat. Come, wine and milk without money and without cost. And in verse 6, a little lower down, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord that he may have compassion on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. What will your response be today? Come. Come to the table. Leave the gifts at home. Leave your efforts at home. Leave your good works at home. Come to the table that is fully equipped and fully prepared, even through the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Come to this table. The banquet doors are still open. Come and see our Savior slain for us, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. Believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the only wise response if you are not a believer today. The blessings of salvation are all most free and abundantly provided. John Stevenson says, they are fully prepared by God and are ready for the use of every penitent sinner. It is a full pardon. It is a full peace. It is a full reconciliation which is provided in the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot render aid. You cannot make a contribution. Nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress. Helpless look to thee for grace. Foul I to the fountain fly. Wash me, Savior, or I die. The Lord Jesus Christ has already died. Pardon has already been procured. The Holy Spirit is already given. The Scriptures are already published. The table of grace is already prepared. And the very vilest of sinners is freely invited to partake. Finally, let's note one more time again that you prepare a table for me in the presence of mine enemies. The psalmist David had many enemies, so this was cause for special gratitude that the Lord would prepare a table in the presence of his enemies, those who continually sought his downfall. And David knew full well that he was surrounded by spiritual enemies too, that sought his eternal ruin. And so the psalmist attributes his safety and his sustenance in his body and soul entirely to his almighty friend. Don't we all, each in our own measure, have similar experiences. We are surrounded without and within by enemies who would love to see us fall. Yet we can take comfort from our gracious host at the table because he provides whatever we need to combat the world and the flesh and the devil. Remember Jesus' words to the Apostle Peter in Luke 22. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you, that he might sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. My friends, let's take courage. No matter what your trial, no matter what your weakness, no matter what your affliction is this day, none shall pluck you out of his hands. And everything you need for strength, for comfort, for encouragement, for confession, for forgiveness is prepared. It is at the table. We need just come to him. But we must come to the table he is prepared, to that throne of grace, that we might find grace to help us in our time of need. But we must come. We must come to him. Now end with this from Philip Keller. At all times, we would be wise to walk a little closer to Christ. This is the one sure place of safety. At all times, we would be wise to walk a little closer to Christ. This is the one sure place of safety. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we marvel at your great goodness and your love to us, that even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Lord, how we thank you this day for your kind provision in the Lord Jesus Christ. How we thank you that you prepare a table for us every day, that we have your word, we have your people, we have your house. And our prayer is that you would make us grateful and willing and better worshippers of you. Fill us, Lord, with the desire to please you and to honor your word. Oh, Father, we pray, burn these scriptures onto our hearts, that we may love you more, that we may worship you from the heart, that we may walk closer to our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us. We pray these things in Christ's name and for his glory. Amen.